All right, welcome everybody. Welcome out to Biz Ninja Radio. We have a really special guest today, a fabulous entrepreneur by the name of Brooke Walker, who has started a really cool business, something I've never seen before. And it's a business called Lexington Nannies. I'll let her jump in. Welcome out to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about Lexington Nannies, Brooke.
Yeah, so I'm a serial entrepreneur. This is my third business. I started my first business about 15 years ago. So it's exciting. So I had two other businesses and I sold them. And then about 10 years ago, I started Lexington Nannies. So I do that. I love being an entrepreneur. On a personal level, I love hockey. So my two favorite things are being an entrepreneur and going to hockey games. So that's what I'm about. And I like, you know, helping other people with their businesses, but I really love what I do and I'm excited about it.
So yeah. Tell me a little bit about your personal entrepreneurial journey. So we'll get to where you are now. What were some of those earlier businesses and, you know, how did you get your feet wet in entrepreneurship?
Yeah. So, my first business, well, I worked for somebody else a long time ago, and working for him and running his business really made me think, you know what, I can really do this myself. And I started my first company. I had a pet sitting company and loved animals and really wanted to do something I'm passionate about, and basically would go and, you know, the community I live in is fairly small. It's, you know, suburban. So you'd go to people's houses, you know, you're selling them on your services. And I realized it was something that I was good at and loved what I did and really, really kind of, you know, grew the business. So it was big. So then not too big. I mean, it was me and another person and really did that business and really loved it. And that's when I started doing, you know, back in the day I was doing, you know, like newsletters and things like that, but they were old fashioned.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of what I did. And so I kind of learned the ropes with that business and how to market myself and do things like that. And then that business, after about a year and a half, I sold it to a larger pet sitting company.
Very cool.
Interested in my clients. And so I did that. I did that transition because I was ready for something new. Plus, I was at a point where I was ready to make more money, but I was really trading.
Kind of capped out with what you had there on the first one.
Well, yeah. And, you know, when talking to dogs all day, you know, you're really involved and it's just, you know, needed something new after a while.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so that's neat. I mean, a lot of people, their first business doesn't have such a fairy tale ending, right? And I'm sure it wasn't a massive corporate merger, but even the fact that it was successful enough that another business wanted it, that's a really neat first jump into entrepreneurship. That's really cool.
Yeah.
What'd you jump into next?
So then I started a house cleaning company. I knew the demand in the community where I was living. I knew everybody hired housekeepers. And I mean, even I had a housekeeper. So I knew that it was in demand. I liked working with people. I was comfortable. I already knew a lot of people in the community, a lot of clients, because I had been their pet sitter. So I kind of had those connections. And so liking service space, wanted to start it working from home. And so it was a good business that I knew I could scale. Because at this point I was like going to seminars and I was like, oh, I got to, you know, get up the rank. Got to start making six figures. I'm not enough. You know, I'm not making that as a pet sitter. And so I really wanted to start something that I could grow. And so, you know, started that and, you know, quickly grew. I mean, the same thing, I manage the clients. What I'm good at is sales. I'm good at talking to clients, having them trust me. And, I run my businesses very ethical and I do the right thing. And so worked on that business and the same kind of thing, the same principles, you know, build those clients up, take care of them, handhold them, things like that. And then kind of grew the housekeeping. I never did housekeeping myself. I'm not a good housekeeper. Plus, you know, I believe in kind of, you know, managing the sales side of businesses and kind of operating a business versus like working in it.
Absolutely. So, very different.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I had that company and I worked with that company. I built it up basically over 2 years. And when I decided to sell it, I built it up where there was 15 employees.
Very cool.
We had like five teams of three cleaners. It was very successful. you know, money-wise, it was great. On a personal level, I was working around the clock.
Sure.
I'd get up. I was very bad at delegating at that point, where I would get up and I'm washing like 100,000 rags, you know, like rags. And I was stocking paper towels and I was making their little, you know, their little box where they bring all their cleaners, where the housekeeper would bring them around. And I did all that myself. And I was like, I have to have my hand in everything. So I think I burnt myself out pretty bad. So I was growing it and enjoying it, but it was more, I was enjoying the money, but not the work itself. And 70, 80 hour work weeks wasn't my thing. And just really needed a balance. And I kind of knew, just based on like gross sales and, you know, I was in a networking group at the time, and I was talking to this guy. He's like, he would sell businesses. So if you had a business, you know, people around there were looking to buy businesses. And he's like, you know, he kind of said it like, would you ever consider selling? And really at the time I was like, oh, I'm really burnt out. And now that I've run two businesses, I bet I can sell it and start another one.
Right.
So I decided to do it. And, you know, when I said it, I was surprised that I sold it so fast, to be honest.
Well, that's, I mean, again, another like, almost, you know, there's obviously some parts of that where you said, you know, the negatives, right? You were working too much. You hadn't learned to completely delegate yet, but really great that you were able to find an exit rather than the, what happens to a lot of entrepreneurs where it just kind of falls apart or demises or just gets shut down. So really cool that you're able to find a positive exit. So I mean, you know, then you took, the lessons you learned for those things and started Lexington Nannies. Is that right?
That's right. I really wanted I wanted a business where I could have a life. It was really important to me. I was like hitting 30. I was like, you know, I need a work-life balance. I want to go and enjoy things and have a life. So I, you know, back in the day was a nanny myself, and I worked for a while at an agency. So I knew, you know, what it was about. And I knew it was kind of normal work hours, pretty much. And the matchmaking ability, I was able to hire people because I had done it for my cleaning company. So I was used to that. I knew, you know, the population. And because I knew the business, I felt like, you know what, I can start my own. And so I decided when I sold the cleaning company, I was really like, yeah, I'm gonna take a few months off and relax. I think it was like 3 weeks. I was like, I got to do something.
Right.
You know, I had made some money and I was like, oh, I should do stuff. But I was so antsy. I didn't know what to do with my day. It was like, I like to work. Well, I like to work for myself, I should say.
Sure. Yeah. You want to be creating, you want to be building something. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting. Like all of your three businesses have a very similar, target demographic, right? People who have extra income to hire help within their own home. Did that help you where essentially each business almost built upon the previous one and like in terms of understanding your customer?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, with the first business, the pet sitting business, I dealt with middle income and then of course, you know, people that were making more money. Definitely with the house cleaning, I started getting very comfortable with all types of people. So regular, I would say middle income earners up to very wealthy individuals. I think that what you were saying, as far as the business is building upon each other, it was definitely something that kind of came easy at a certain point. I knew how to attract those clients. I knew how to retain them. And, you know, once you kind of get in a circle, a friend, you have to, the way they operate, it's kind of a psychology to it almost.
Yeah.
And I got it and I knew how to take care of them. So it really was, it was something that made it somewhat an easy transition. I knew that with my business now, I knew it would require really a lot, the clientele I have now, but even building it, I knew they'd have to be really that top 10% as far as income earners.
Sure.
You know, it's costly to hire an agency versus, you know, ask your friends for a nanny. So it really did help me.
Yeah. And I mean, I think nanny is like the highest echelon of in-house help, right? Like, you know, a pet sitter is, you know, going to help come either, you know, sometimes or every day or whatever. And then house cleaning. Okay. Now they're coming a couple times a week, maybe. But nanny, you know, that's, you're all, you know, like you said, upper income earners, they're, a lot of times most nannies are, you know, close to full time, right. Or live in or something similar, I'm assuming. And so What are some of the biggest obstacles that you had in getting that business going, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, one of the biggest things, and this I think applies to any business, is, you know, you're growing it and you're getting phone calls and you're getting the word out there. And it's the biggest obstacle is really being able to turn down certain clients, you know, the ones where, you know, they call and either they fall in two categories. One, they really can't afford your service. And you know that, you know, so you want to help them in a very nice way before you kind of tell them about the fees. And, you know, it's, you know, one of letting them down easy. It's something, you know, it's kind of one of those things that I get better at with time, but it's hard. Because I want them to have the best care. And so part of me is like, yeah, you really do need me because I can screen through 20 nannies and you're going to do it and you're not going to be able to read the signs and the body language. And so I was a concerned person. But then also to the clients that were no good for me, that literally I'd get calls and, you know, whether they were celebrities or who they were, and they would be like, do you know who I am? And they would talk this way to me. And kind of overcoming that ageism, that kind of sounding young, being a young entrepreneur, and kind of being like, yeah, I know who you are, but it doesn't make a difference. Yes, you have to sign my contract. And yes, you have to follow what everybody else does. And so kind of being, I think the hardest challenge has been coming to peace with turning down jobs and saying, what, I could get $5,000 for that, but you know what, that stress that it's going to cause me, and they're not going to be good clients, and they're not going to be good to my nannies. That's hard to do when you see that money, and then you're able to be like, you know what? No, it's not worth it. So that's been a struggle.
Yeah, and I think that's really, especially in service-based businesses, that's really common, is learning to identify your customer, your dream customer, and then say no to people that don't match that, because if it's not a fit, it'll just, you know, crush your soul, right, as you try to make it work. And so that's smart that you've been able to identify that. And so what, you know, as you have been focusing on Lexington Nannies, as you've been growing that, what are the markets that you, serve?
The types of people?
No, like what geography, where do you
go? So I do mostly, I'd say 90% of my clients are in Southern California. So it's pretty much Orange County up through Santa Barbara. And then all the outskirts, you know, like Pasadena and South Bay and all of that. So that's 90% of our clients. There has been growth where I have some clients in San Francisco. I have some clientele in Nashville. I got referred to this country star there. And it was like, all of a sudden I have all these country clients, which are so much fun. So I get these calls and I'm like, yes, I can place your job. And I'll place out of state if it is a full-time position.
So that makes sense. So you're doing, so you have two very important pieces when you're doing this kind of a service business, right? Obviously you have the marketing and sales part of your job where you have to find new customers and get them wanting to use your service. But then you also have the making sure you have a database and can find nannies to actually fill those positions, right? So you've got hunting down two sides. How are you managing kind of the sourcing, if you will? Like that seems slightly harder. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Than sourcing a house cleaner, perhaps. So how have you gone to kind of build that network?
Yeah, you know, I have a nanny recruiter that helps me. And so that's a big thing for me. She does a lot of work with me. And then during the busy times, I've hired like assistants to help do things around the office. But it's definitely, it's an ongoing task because, you know, I'm rejecting, you know, the nannies I meet with, because we do nannies and housekeepers and chefs and butlers and everything in the house.
Oh, so, cool.
You know, yeah. So you get, we get a ton of resumes, but when I meet them, I'm very picky. So I pretty much reject 80-90% of the people. So the amount of people I need applying is a huge number, you know, so I can weed them out. You know, if you want to be a nanny or you want to do this line of work, doesn't mean you're qualified for it, or it doesn't mean I think you're really dedicated. And so that's an ongoing thing. I feel like the customers kind of come themselves, you know?
Interesting.
You know, regulars.
So for you, as long as you have a good enough list of nannies and chefs and all of those things that you mentioned, as long as that database is strong and you have people ready, you've been able to just place them pretty quickly.
I feel very fortunate, you know, the clients, I do believe in, if you treat them right, you treat them like gold, they're going to send people to you. Yeah. It's a small community. Even though Los Angeles is huge, it's really interesting how it's, oh, so-and-so at preschool told me about you, and just these random places, you know, and so I'm very lucky for that. So the client, yeah, definitely the client side is the easier side for me.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What, you know, as you've been doing this and it's growing, as an entrepreneur, what is kind of your big goal for 2017?
Yeah, I would like to start heading in a way where I double the size of my business. I don't expect to do it in a year, but I'd like to bring it up another 25% by the end of 2017 and then kind of bring it up from there. And the goal is that I need to hire one of me. And I think as a business owner, I think the biggest struggle is like, okay, can I delegate enough stuff? Can I trust this person with all my clients that I've built that are pretty much, they call and they all want to talk to me. So it's like, you know, finding that of like, no, I'd really like them to be able to be excited to talk to somebody else and know that that person's going to take care of them. So right. I think this year is really finding another one of me to kind of add to the business. So I could be able to do what I do best. And, you know, it's finding those new clients. Like I like to go out and network and schmooze, and that's part of it too. It's not just, I wait by my phone, but right. I look for those clients. I actively am reaching out to them and doing things like that. So that's the goal. That's the biggest thing for me, is really getting that person on board.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I use the term that intrapreneur, right? Like every entrepreneur needs an intrapreneur, someone who kind of is the yin to the yang, who is also, who's a problem solver, who can do a lot of the same things the entrepreneur does, but maybe doesn't have the same ambition to be, or same kind of personality to be out there as much. And so they, you know, you need that person who's able to, you know, really be there to talk with the clients and keep the business operating while you're out networking, while you're out doing those things. It's nice to have someone kind of behind the scenes. And so I think you're right. I think that's one of the biggest and toughest challenges for every entrepreneur is that first, you know, backstop. Who's the first person that's going to really be there to support you and help you grow, right?
Yeah.
Good thing is you have a very good history of hiring people and of finding the right person. So I'm confident you'll find them and have that person help you grow. And then my, the next question I like to ask everyone is this is, you know, business is about having the life we want. It's not just about, you know, working all the time. So what is one major item on your personal bucket list that you're going to accomplish in 2017?
Oh, I would love to take a trip this year. I don't take that many vacations, and I would really like that maybe after the summertime mm-hmm. that I have somebody in place to really run the business.
Right.
So I can go. And I would say Italy is my first choice. Go there, but to spend like 10 days, not to rush back in 5 days, to like actually relax, maybe even turn my cell phone off for a couple days, which I haven't done in 15 years.
Sure.
And, I think that's a huge thing for me this year, is take some time for myself, kind of be able to check out during one of my slow months, of course, because, you know.
That's okay.
Yeah. No, of course, you know, but so I think a vacation this year and having that right person to support the business is huge for me.
That's awesome. I'm confident that you can do it, and I'll be looking forward to hearing that you had a wonderful trip to Italy and accomplished all of those goals for the year. It's fun to see how you've been able to take each business and improve upon it and learn from it and grow that way. It's fantastic. So if people wanted to learn more about you, where would they go?
They can go to lexingtonnannies.com. They can see my website. Of course, I have a Facebook page, so they can go there as well. And, you know, reach out to me via email. They can do that or call the office. I'm pretty accessible. So.
Yeah. Yeah, since we just learned you never shut off your cell phone. So
I know.
Stuff that tells me it'd be easy to go hold of. So Lexington Nannies, mostly serving Southern California and doing not just nannies. What are the other help that you provide?
We do baby nurses. We do housekeepers, personal assistants, and chefs.
Fantastic. Cool. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming out. It's always fun to talk to an entrepreneur and hear how things are going. So thank you so much for coming out on the show.
Thank you for having me.